And Miyuchim for Talmud Torah. Yevenu Avinu L'Sara Sechem. This came from Teaneck, New Jersey. Here had Torah Teaneck. Mamash. How do you live in that room? No. A few hundred. I can't. I'm not bad at numbers. Was it a few hundred people sitting there in Teaneck, New Jersey, which used to be called Teaneck Shenishba? That's how it used to be called.
That's great.
Not so long ago, 25 years ago, it was called Teaneck Shenishba.
Last year.
Now I call it as a joke, but I'm going to say it used to be mamish. There's nothing there. Roch Hashem. Of course, this makes a great extra chiyuv on us. How is this happening? I happened to hear a tape from the Rav Zichron Livracha. That's on the way in some Hanukkah tape someone lent me, which a Shia gave a Hesker of Kolayev. It was 1966, and he's talking about the Shia of Hanukkah. So he's saying that, you know, a nes happens only when it has to happen. So the Hanukkah nes it lasted 8 days. It took that long to get the Hanukkah. He said, what if Klal Yisrael would have been lazy? He said, listen, it's good this way. Save money. A miracle happened. Why should we spend much money on the Ner Chanukah? We won't do it. It'll last another night. So the wound will last. Because God doesn't like to make nisim. He only makes nisim when he has to. The Rav said. He said like this. He said, Torah in the last 30, 40 years, speaking in 1966, is a miracle in America. It's a miracle. Torah should have gone under. Should have gone under. It was so much. Should have gone namish. Should have gone to pieces. A miracle is probably the miracle that allowed Torah to somehow develop in America. It says now, it's over 30 years ago. It says now, it's such a big oil. We must have had more people than I had in my Shia today. I said hundreds and hundreds of people came there to Rav Shia. Now there's such a, thank God, an olam Torah in America. You can no longer count the miracles. May have to work for it. Now you have to just to learn hard. Now if you won't bring your son to yeshiva, that's what he said. Now if you now you'll send your kid to public school, he won't come out for him. So it happened 30 years ago, a miracle comes broke away, like the Nes of Chanukah. So now it's not going to work anymore. It's the same thing I'm saying, like Hamidim, Teaneck, 25 years ago, was Teaneck Shenishba, a lot of people came out of there, so some wonderful Talmidim came out then. Listen. Now, Baruch Hashem, Teaneck has developed, you have to learn. You have to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to go to yeshivas, you have to be a masmid if you want to come out with something from those communities. So, Baruch Hashem, we have a few tinokos from Teaneck who are not far from Nishvul. Baruch Hashem, learning about Smada. So I'm very happy that they drove here faster than I did. And I'm happy that they heard me this morning and again now. Okay. We have two things to talk about today. First, if we finish up the sugya. I mean, Adam also be lost of Bilas Nus and Payala from the base. And then we'll go back to Mitzvah to start the Sugya, I hope. Sugya of Mokom, which is on the Payam and Aleph, which have the official Mar Makomas here, but we'll give them out tomorrow morning. Okay, so there's a Gemara over here on the Payala from the base on the top line. They still are so savory. And Adam also be lost of Bilas Nus. And the question is, what is this impact of this Gemara have for us on two very significant questions, civil marriages and reform marriages? Very serious. The Rivosh has a tshuva, and Simon Vov, he was asked a question, people went to something you don't really have today too much, church marriages. They went to the church. There were people who were running away from Yiddishkeit. Don't remember, don't forget the Rivosh is in the post-Inquisition era. People are Maranos, they're running away from their religion, and they went to the church, and the church married them. And in Siman Vav, the Rivosh wants to know what kind of halachic status does it have. He says, no, they're not married. But they're living together physically as husband and wife. They could have children. No, they're not married. So writes the Rivosh. What's the basis for the Rivosh? On what basis does he say this? You can't just say it like this. The Rivosh has to have a strong basis to say such a thing. So the Rivosh has three different svaros. The first one is, these individuals are not leading their lives because that's Moshe the Yisrael. They're leading their lives as Christians. And in fact, they got married with a priest. And that's what they're Znuspi Alma. I'm going to ask you to see in the Maamar Kamas, if you recall. In Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Tes. He quoted, we saw this in the Ran also, you can look it up. We read it together last week. The Mikvas of Gaonim say, if you know a couple is living together, that they consider halachically married. Chazak and other Mosul Bilos Bilos Nus. He says, this is Rachok Be'en Ayad Ma'od. B'dak Erov. Ein Rolis Machaleim. Only by Ishto Shagir Shabulvad. Then, on the Kaddish Al Tanai Bo'al Stam, where she is his wife, then we have a chazaka and also bilas bilas nus. But the Shara Nashim? What do you mean? Kol zona b'cheskel shebo'al l'shem's nus. Ad shiafar, shul l'shem kiddushin. Nothing to talk about. Stam, man and wife, man and woman live together. It's garnished. It's promiscuity. It's not marriage. That's point number one. Point number two, you mean to tell me that such tzaddikim, you know, the most of bilas bilas nus, that they wouldn't do have a prohibited act of cohabitation? What are you talking about? This woman went to the mikveh? Of course not. She didn't keep the laws of nida. Not keeping laws of nida is an isakares. So how can you say it's a chazaka that the man doesn't want to live in sin? He's living in sin for sure. Was living in sin once, living in sin twice? It's certainly sinful what's going on. But there's an isur of nida. This is reason number two, which is given by the Rivash.
You say Isra Chalas?
Not a question of Isra Chalas, it's a question of psychology. When we say, in other mostly bilas, bilas nus, we mean to say that he does not want to live in sin. The guy's living in sin anyway, she doesn't go to the mikveh. So therefore there's no psychological basis to assume that in the physical relationship he insists on having it for the purpose of marriage. If he'd be a tzaddik, so then you say maybe yes, but he's Mishkan tzaddik, he's a Rosh anyway, and if he is married, he's living in the Isra Chalas. So therefore, you have no basis to assume that indeed he wants to be married to this relationship. Yes. Word Maranos. That's what Rav Rivosh says. That he knows for a fact that he goes to the mikvah.
She came back. And the guy, they knew that the guy was in desire with everyone, and he was still a practicing non-Jew, and she was though that she wanted to be Jew.
Don't know. I'm just. I don't have the Rivosh in front of me. You can look up Beis Medrash Simin Vav. That's the second point he brings. The third point he brings is no Edom. There are no Edom. Aye, there are Edom who see the women. They go into the house and out of the house. Every night they go in at 10 p.m. and they come out at 8 a.m. And they're not, playing ping pong every single night only and reading the Sunday Times. So presumably, Hena Yichel and Ebiya. So the Rivosh says, yeah, that's what they're all would say. They're all says, you're right. If everyone knows it together, it's considered the equivalent of Edom Yichud. But the Das Yochad there are all, Rav Rishonim say, there has to be a specific Yichud, which is the shame, Kiddushin. You have to tell the Edim, before they go into the Yichud, that he's doing this Yichud with the Bia, the shame, Kiddushin, and that's a prerequisite. But standard, they're living together, and everyone sees their next door neighbors, called the Rav Rishonim, except for there are all, that's a chasaron in Edim Yichud, in Edim Kiyum as well. What's the three reasons? I'm sorry? Right. What's the case over there? Hamagarash is Ishta Valoni Mabhundaki. There's one particular act. In other words, he divorced his wife, and now they're getting together in a hotel. What are they getting together for? They want to get together to talk over old times. They would have done it in a coffee shop. Pundaki means a private room in a hotel, in a motel. What are they doing there? So you can use your imagination. Yes.
If we would know that she's a building of Nida, and if you were there,
Well, there are three different reasons. There can be cases where all three apply, where two apply, where one applies, and in theory where none apply.
Are they exclusive?
No, they're not exclusive. All three can apply. So Rav Moshe therefore understands, and it's true that I asked you to see, Siman Ayin Dalet, that the Rivash is clearly assuming that in order for to say the principle of an other bilas bilas nos, you have to have in mind kiddushe Torah. You have to have in mind you want through this act of cohabitation to you want to become married according to the laws of the Torah. Against Rav Henkin, Zichron Levrach. Rav Henkin said, no, as long as they want to be married, even married in a sort of a general, secular, colloquial, cultural sense, it's good enough. It's good enough. I am a foolish Rivash Vaker. So So Rav Henkin is an incredible reread of the Rivash. I read the Rivash carefully, it's not in the words. Rav Henkin said the Rivash must be referring to a case of what they call in America today open marriage. You know what that word open marriage, what that means? Baruch Hashem, I never heard of it. Baruch Hashem. What does an open marriage mean? An open marriage means, yes, I married this woman, so that there should be a physical relationship between her and me, but it's open. She can pick a different man on Sunday, a different man on Monday, a different man on Tuesday, it doesn't bother me. So that's not a marriage. That's maybe they may call it marriage. That's not really a marriage if you're open. That's what the Rivash had in mind. So Rav Moshe, that's how can you say such a thing? You look at the Rivash from beginning to end, it never makes any mention of this. A pillar of Henkin's sheet. Very difficult. Rav Moshe Zal, however, because of the tremendous respect he had for Rav Henkin, says that although Mikir Adin, there's no need for a get in the case of a civil marriage, but you should try to procure a get anyway. And that's what we do the Maisa. There's a whole organization called Kayama. Kayama, a very important organization, tries to get gitten even in cases in which maybe there was no kiddushin at the beginning because of a civil marriage. That's what Rav Henkin said, it's required. Rav Moshe, however, says it's only true if there are eidim. Absolutely no eidim. Let's say there were no eidim at the wedding. In civil marriage had no eidim. And there were no eidim at the where they lived. They lived in a completely non-observant area. Rav Moshe, the Shittas, he holds that a person not Shomer Shabbos is possibly eidus. Rav Moshe is a chiddush about that, also in the first chalak. Even if it's what you call a tinek shenishba, he wasn't trained properly. He's not in Russia. He's not a bad person. Still, he's possibly eidus called Rav Moshe. So therefore, he's tried to be back for Rav Henkin whenever the couple lived in an area where there were observant Jews who saw them going in and out. But after they lived in Yehupitz, where there were no observant Jews, there Moshe was not so insistent on trying to procure a get to satisfy the opinion of Rav Henkin. There's a third view. Yes? We'll come to that. There's a third view. That's the view of the Ragachova, the famous Ragachova Gon, Tzavnas Paneach. He says, you know, it's like Ashes, it's like Ishes of a Ben Noach. Ben Noach is, how did they get married before Matan Torah? They designated a man and a wife, as husband and wife, it's good enough. Therefore, if Tavas Ben Noach has a Chiddush Neira, you don't have to have a kosher get. Probably going to have a civil divorce. Civil marriage, civil divorce. So they're on marrying the level of Bnei Noach. And they get divorced in the level of Bnei Noach. Actually, the Gemara has in the Sefer Sanhedrin, Afnun Ches, that how in the world can you get divorced in a non, if you're not Jewish? So the same way they have no Kiddushin, they have no Gerishin. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, as long as she demonstrates she's no longer his wife. How does she do so? She uncovers her hair. Boom. In the time of the Gemara, even by the Goyim, the married woman would cover the hair. By taking off a head covering, this indicates, I mean, it's a Gemara. It's not just a modernism. It's a Gemara. So by removing her head covering, this would indicate that she's no longer married and would have a lach ramification. Because the Ben Noach who commits adultery is chaya, the Dovak be Ishto, the Lo be Ishto is Chavero. So it's very important to know what she is Chavero not. The Ben Noach can get killed for this kind of adultery, even though there's no formal condition of garish. Takes off a head covering, now she's considered to be single again, so then she loses another man, there would be no chi of visa according to the laws of Bnei Noach.
If Moshe is saying that we might not even need a regular get, but then we might want to try to get one, why should we bother all this with a civil get? With our civil divorce?
No, civil divorce, they have to go to American law. American law. Now, the question is, what about reform? Here's an interesting thing. I thought reform was a much more serious shaila. Because reform, even though a reform rabbi is no rabbi, but who needs a rabbi? You need a rabbi to get married. You can marry out a rabbi. Right? Two people can just, man or woman, two eidim, you don't need a rabbi. Yeah?
Since when do you ever say that
you can end up a good question. Lagarmi ben Noach. It's a sugi you find that in the Sanhedrin. That when no inferior to Bnei Noach. It's a long sugi. Whether you apply to your thing or not. Huh? Right. Not so clear. I remember heard this from a Talmud of Rav Hutto, Zichrono Livracha. I was at a wedding, I was in Masada Kedushin, and one of his main Talmidim, the Hillel David Shlita, a big Talmud Chacham, was in Flatbush. So he said to me, which way are they going to face the Chassam and Kal? I said, I don't care which way they face. He said, well, if you don't mind, if they don't mind, I prefer that they face the crowd. They face the crowd. Fine, no problem. Let them face the crowd. I said, why? Well, my Rebbe, I wouldn't know. Why? So like this. It's by the Goyim, the priest faces the crowd, and the bride and groom kneel by the altar with their back to the crowd. Why? So by the Goyim, marriage is a mess. It means this is the right week to talk about these things. Marriage is a mess. A mess. It's a sacrament. It's an act of, then they get married with whatever. It's a religious act, sacrament, by an altar. I'm talking about by the Catholics, you know, by the real Christians. That's how it is. And therefore, the person who was in effect creating the marriage faces the crowd, because the priest creates the marriage. The priest literally marries them. There are rabbis who use that expression. I recoil when I hear it. I say, oh, this rabbi, he married us. That means he was the Masada Kedush. That's what comes from the Goyim, where the priest marries someone. He marries them. He creates the Chal Hashem marriage with the Goyim. That's him. So he faces the crowd. He says, by us, the rabbi is only a facilitator. He doesn't know anything. He just facilitates the man marrying his wife. That's all. And therefore, the people who are doing the marriage should face the crowd. That's the Chosn and Kala. That's our Hutna, typical Hutna vart. Huh? I don't know, half and half. I have no pay. I'm going tonight. Yossi Pinsel's getting married tonight. Yeah. After the fast. He said, 5:10 Naira, 5:30 Shmug. Hey, hey. I'm sure you can crash the Shmug. One wants to go to Best Western. I'm sure about you. far away. But, how will it face? I'm not the Messiah condition. I don't know. But when I am, it makes very little difference to me, because I don't know to pay this one way or the other. But I just mentioned to you this payday ties to what we said before. So reform, I thought, is a much more serious shaila, because in a reform situation, there's a ring. There's a ring. I think, to my knowledge, reform rabbis are still using wedding rings, and he gives her a ring. As opposed to a civil, we'll come to that. As opposed to a justice of the peace, you go to city hall to get married. There's no ring. It's just a. Something. So you take this lawfully wedded wife, you love and cherish. That's not marriage. It's like a kedusha shtar. It's only a piece of paper by the government. That's not a shtar. So I thought reform marriage is a much more serious child than his civil marriage. Rav Moshe is an interesting child, if you saw, yeah? Okay. Rav Moshe, so that's it. There could be kosher witnesses. There could be two kosher witnesses in the crowd.
We have to see the actual
thing. So maybe they saw it? Reform? I never heard of the Chumash of the Ritva. The Yachad Eden. I've never heard of it. It's a Kavachim of reform. So I thought it's a serious shaila. Rav Moshe is a funny tshuva. Because even Rav Henkin would be molded to me by reform marriage. The only argument is civil marriage. Reform marriage is even less. What? Why? So Rav Moshe says like this. Because if it's a civil marriage, he knows a civil marriage has no halachic import. He's not relying on that. So therefore, there's a presumption that it's a kaddish of shadabia, because it also be listeners. But a reform marriage, the guy's a reform Jew, he thinks the reform rabbi is a real rabbi. He thinks what happened was a real marriage ceremony. He's not going to live with his wife physically for the purpose of marriage. He thinks he's married already. So even Rav Henke will agree, says Rav Moshe, that by reform marriage, it's nothing. Oh, hold on. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh. So we talk about it, Rabbi Vadi Yosef, as I mentioned maybe briefly last on Thursday, that today, nowadays, most people never heard of Kiddush Abiyah. That's a kind of barbaric concept. They've never heard of it. And therefore, there's no such thing as Manasseh, and also most of the Lossabilis. And What if he's a minority? What do you mean most? So here's a kivah which Rav Moshe has also. Even if this guy was a Reformed Jew or a secular Jew who once learned in yeshivas, what they called him a chozer b'sheila, right? That means he was brought up from and he became non from. So he learned the yeshivas, he knows very well. He learned the cheder, he knows about it. But, and therefore maybe he hasn't even has it in mind, deep down, that little core observant Jew in him. It doesn't matter. Why? Because there's no edus on that. Edus means in the olden days when everybody knew the first Mishnah Kiddushin, the Nikas Bevia, so everybody knew this, so there's a presumption that A, there was a Bia when they got together, and B, the Bia was the Shem Kiddush, because they know the Shem Kiddush. And that's not also Bila's Nus. But Bismana said that most people never heard of Bia the Shem Kiddushin. Even if he has heard of it, he can't say there's Edus automatically that there was a Bia the Shem Kiddushin, unless he says it's a Beferish. Therefore, that's another Tzad Hako, Bismana said. Now, question is, Gevalt, but the Reform marriage itself should be a marriage. Rabbeinu Shalala. That's my thesis. Maybe it's a real marriage. So Rav Moshe and his tshuva is as follows. No. Why? Why? They don't do a proper marriage ceremony. Why? He gives her a ring, no. Says Rav Moshe, but she gives him a ring too. Double ring ceremony. Rav Moshe, believe it or not, says that a double ring ceremony is nothing. Why? Because the fact that they are exchanging rings, according to Rav Moshe, I don't know if you all agree with this, indicates that they are just exchanging gifts. But the real marriage, according to them, is happening without anything exchanging hands. Just an exchange of gifts. I don't know. Is that really so? I don't know. I saw that others disagree with Rav Moshe. And they say that if the Reform rabbi is talking about marriage, that should be considered to be a possibly valid marriage. And if he gives his ring first, how is it possible to uproot the marriage when she gives him a ring? Because Rav Moshe would hold, no. That since she gave him a ring right afterwards, it indicates, the Mafreya, that they didn't have in mind that it should work. But wait a minute. But if they have in mind that there should be two things should work to pick the marriage, his ring and her ring, what's it in that kind of a case? What's it in? Not so posh. It's a Gemara Kiddush Men Vav. HaMekadesh B'milve U'Pruta V'Data V'Ashneim. He wants both should be good. The whole thing is Data, Milve, Data, V'Ashneim. It's not so simple. What's it in that kind of a case? Yes, Ellie?
Isn't the reason the ring works?
That's true. So this is worse than one guy wants these two things on his possible special. True. That's what our message is also. It says, our view of marriage is the man takes the woman as a wife. It's not she takes him as that. That they take each other. You may recall, I was quite perturbed last year in the article entitled 13 Ways to Enrich a Marriage, or one of the other articles in the Jofa summer June wedding edition, in which they said that the woman said to the man after he said, "Have a relationship, leave." What'd she say? Hare ato mikudosh li. If I'm not mistaken, someone said that. That's a really serious child. Because according to Rav Moshe, that means maybe not even married. Because Rav Moshe says if they're taking each other, that's not the Torah's view of marriage. That's not so simple. Not simple at all. Not simple. Yeah.
If she comes now later on and she believed to say that she never had gospel or anything like that, she never at the time of the ceremony or
I don't know about that.
She has to have
that. I don't know. One thing I think we can rely on Moshe. Rav Moshe says, Pische Tshuva is called in Tzimin Mem Beis. Yes, Yehuda.
Well,
I think so. Rav Moshe assumes they didn't have it. But I did some homework. In the 1970s, still, I don't know about the 90s or the next millennium. But in the 1970s, there were many Reform rabbis who were still having one ring. And if she wanted to give him a ring, she would say something different. Like, I need a dodi for dodi li. She wouldn't say, Hareyat HaMakuri. It was not at all a pre-egalitarianism. The 70s was already, you know, reform was reform, but it wasn't full egalitarianism. So then I thought that the 70s reform marriage could be made according to a merchant, might be a valid marriage. Gewalt. Gewalt. Not so simple. But I think Rav Moshe is correct. You have to have two aid. Oh, so I would maybe two aid in the room. Here's where it's the difference. Pesach Shiva calls an interesting case. What happened to the Miyachad Aidim? And they named him Apostle. The Miyachad Apostle made my mistake. One name was Apostle. Happens. So Pesach Shiva says the Yichud is Betos, doesn't count. And the Aidim in the back count. Why? Look, an Orthodox rabbi is a Chazakah that he did it right. No, they didn't see the ring. They didn't see actually give it. We saw in the beginning, the very beginning of the year. Aidus Yudia Beloria. After Beluam, of Tos, the whole discussion of how the Sugar of, this is the Ran sheet and then of Gittin. So it could be that if there's a assumption that others made that the ring was given over, it's valid. Says Rav Moshe, even if you say it's a Chazakah that the Orthodox rabbi did it right, and even if the Reform rabbi happened to have done it right, but there's no Chazakah that he do it right. Enough Reform rabbis do it wrong, and there's no Chazakah. So they didn't actually see, it's nothing. You know, the video later shows what happened. It's a perfectly valid kedushin. But as long as there were not two actual kosher edim nearby, there were two edim in the back row, cool kosher, it would not be considered to be a valid marriage. That's what Moshe writes. If you have a non, they were miyachad by mistake, a non-kosher aid. And you have two edim in the back, 28 edim, 100 edim in the back who are just looking in general, they don't see what's going on. They hear Arayat, they don't see. They are considered valid Eidei Kedushin. Because of the Chazakah. Rabbi wouldn't make a mistake. So it says, Rabbi Moshe wouldn't apply to a Reform Rabbi. So it comes out, as long as there are no Orthodox Jews or from Jews actually seeing the ring being handed over directly, so then the marriage is not a marriage for the lack of Eidei. I think that Eliot is right, that most of these Reform marriages, the bride and groom have their back to the crowd. They are copying the church, as the footnote said. But for us, it's great news. That's great news. So no one saw the ring being handed over. There's an Orthodox Jew in the back row. He's not going to see what's going on because it backs to the crowd. That's how the Shabbat saved us, you see. He had to follow the Goyim so that there should be no Eidei from Eidim that will consider Eidei Kedushin in the Reform marriage. Baruch Hashem. I once saw a guy got married in L.A. Interesting story. A guy was married. There was a wedding in Los Angeles in the 50s, I think, early 50s, late 40s. And there was that marriage terminated with no get. A young man, not so young, who came from the woman's second marriage, was a candidate to marry someone from the community. Maybe the mamzer, because his mother married someone else before, never got a get, married someone else, and had this guy. Gewalt! I was part of a committee to try to undo the first marriage, as per our motion. So they showed me slides. It was not before slides. They had slides. I guess in the 50s they had slides. I saw slides of the wedding in California. Frankly, I had trouble looking at the slides because the people were undressed. It was a child looking at, you know, I wouldn't want Palmina to look at these slides. What can I do? I had to do it because I had to see what's going on. Did not look at any kosher Adam anywhere near the place. Also, there was just, you know, you can only get a picture from the slides. It wasn't a full view, but through those slides, we were able to find the cooler and through other means that this man was not a mamzer. I'm telling you, I saw slides from an LA wedding in 50 years ago. Yeah. We say that's true when it comes to an Orthodox marriage. They're going to do it right, but the rabbi says, the Reform, what's going on there? There are enough rabbis in Reform who do it wrong. There's no chazak. We don't know. They didn't see it. Their back's to you. You don't know what's going on. You just don't know. What do you see? Not necessarily. You're standing in your back, yeah?
Even if you do, though,
depending
on the man on the ring, all the conversations have to
That's true. That's true. That's right. That's true. That's true, too. Could be his grandmother's ring, an heirloom. Her grandmother's ring. You know, her grandmother's ring. He's giving her own ring. It doesn't mean anything. It's true. Well said. Yes?
So, you got to go to that person that a conservative marriage would be better for him to look away.
That's a good question. I would make better look away.
Well,
Depending
on the case, let's say there's a kid that came out of his marriage.
Depends. If she, if her first marriage, would we'd rather he be married. But if it's the second marriage, you'd rather she not, not be married. So we don't. We're not prophets. We don't know what's going to happen.
She was married once, and then the husband ran away. And
I got to tell you, there was a whole exchange of letters in the recent. I think it was in the RJJ Journal. I think it was in the Jewish Observer. Not that long ago. Whose fault is it that there's so many mamzerim nowadays? It's the Orthodox rabbi's fault. Because the rabbi goes and does marriage ceremonies for non-observant people. And if he wouldn't do it, they threaten. If you won't do it, we're going to go to a conservative rabbi. Oh, shit. A conservative or a former rabbi, they won't be married. And then when they break up, there won't be any problem among zeitz. I'm not kidding. Rabbi David Cohen, speaking from Brooklyn, holds very strong in that way. You should not do these marriages by non-observant people.
That's only if she gets married again.
But we don't know in advance.
So what
do they say? 50% of marriage end in divorce. If you have a kid from the first marriage, it won't be a mamzer. It'll be out of wedlock. Big deal. Still a kosher kid. No, I'm serious. A big deal compared to mamzerus. No, don't take me wrong. I'm not belittling it, but you have to take the perspective. A young man or a woman born from a couple who lived together without benefit of marriage is 100% kosher. Pagam, he's not, from the greatest yichas, but he's 100% kosher. 100% kosher. But if he comes from a second marriage, if then he's a mamz of mamish, it's terrible. Yes, you. Oh, so that's what I think. I think somebody wrote a letter back with the following compromise, which I told him I give a shiur once a year, the Young Israel Rabbinic Training. I give you the opening shiurs about marriage. And this comes up all the time, people out of town. I never had the show. No one ever asked to perform a wedding of a non-observant couple. That happened to me. My shul is observant, and Talmidim are observant. I never had the show. But if you're a rabbi in a big congregation, you can't help it. So the compromise is as follows. If you have a long-standing relationship with the family, and you explain to the couple what marriage is, and you prevail upon them that if chas v'shalom it breaks up, they should have a procure get, and they have a there's a relationship of long-standing, you can trust them, do the wedding. Of course, you try to be, even if they're not going to go to the mikveh, they have less of an issue. But if they come off the street, this is a street trade here. Really, there is. People, they're not really, they don't know anybody. The old grandmother wants to have an Orthodox marriage. They finally look at the phone book of an Orthodox rabbi, and they see there, they call, hello? Yes? You want to get married? Mazel tov. Please perform the wedding ceremony, we'll give you $100, whatever it may be. So he says yes to that, that's terrible. Because, then they're eating in and out, you're never going to see them again, you don't know them before. And if you do the wedding, chas v'shalom, you're causing mamzerim. I'm masking to that compromise. Okay. Huh? Oh yeah. Oh really? Okay. Yeah. No. So I'm saying, if there's someone from the street, I would say, I'm sorry, I don't do this. Rabbi, would go to a reform rabbi of this person. Be my guest. Oh really? Be my guest. I'm told, if it's really true, the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael at the present time has to sanctify every Jewish marriage. There's no civil marriage in Eretz Yisrael at the present time. It's very tough now. Hundreds of thousands of non-Jews from Russia, you have to read the papers, and it's a very serious problem. But right now there is still no civil marriage. So the Rabbanim will be called upon to go to these very left-wing communist kibbutzim, where they believe in free love. There was all kinds of swapping and everything was going on. And they were asked to go perform a marriage. But they were afraid that if they would perform the marriage, what would happen? It would cause chalila v'chas adultery, cause mamzerus potentially. What would they do? They would passel the wedding. How do you passel the wedding? How do you fool the people and make the wedding passel? Somehow they make the apostle of a person should be the aid, they make the relatives, they make witnesses, these people don't know anything. They make the brother, his brother and her brother should be the witnesses, and then they would look away, and then only one guy would go, and he would be, they'd do everything they could to undermine the marriage.
You find out?
I didn't make a brachel of Atala. Can't fool these people, that much you can't fool them, they have a serious, they better make a brachel of Atala, rather than be part of the creating mamzer as an adult. Ad kedei kach. All the rabbis are very upset with this. You can't do that. You can't do it on your own. You have to have a marriage. And the chips fall where they may. It's a big fight in Eretz Yisrael about this. Really? No joke. Anyway.
Can they be sure that every couple is going to be having the swapping?
No, every couple has to show.
So then why should they do this?
They did a statistical survey, and they found out. They did a survey in America today. The stats are not very good. They did a statistical survey in America recently of how many marriages are completely what they call monogamous. That means there's absolute loyalty to your husband and wife. No one's playing around. The percentages were not so good. You know, I spoke at my shul to Shabbos about what real malchus means. You know, Yigashel of Yehuda, Kirei Malachim, Noah, the Rabbi Yachtav, it's Yosef and Yehuda. So, and I spoke two different slants, but in Ashkenazim, and I spoke about from the Balei Musar, who say that a king is not a king who rules armies and nations. Nah. That's just power. That's not a real king. A real king is the one who rules over himself. And Yosef and Yehuda were kings because they ruled over their own instincts. Yosef wouldn't sin with Eshet Potiphar, and Yehuda admitted his guilt, embarrassed himself, Yitzchak Mimeni, not to to cause the death of an innocent person. These are people who rule over their own emotions and instincts and drives. Those are real kings. So in the course of the discussion, I said, but a king with great power, sure, in his time he's a tremendously powerful despot, but as soon as he's gone, people forgot about him. I said, who here knows about Brezhnev? Who here in this room knows about Brezhnev? Who heard the name Brezhnev? Who heard the name Brezhnev? Raise your hand if you heard it. Look at the majority, had never heard of Brezhnev. 20 years ago, he was the most powerful man in the world. He was the leader of communist Russia, right? And although there was a president, then was who? Carter, whatever it was. He's probably more powerful than Carter. Carter had this concoyak. He's subservient to Congress, whatever. So he's the most powerful man in the world 20 years ago, and now no one even knows who he is. He was overthrown. He died. He died in the office. I don't know anymore. So, and then that's it. Kamarnu. Brezhnev. Forgotten. But a king who rules over himself. So in that, in the course, Hashkama is much more, it's like a classroom. Shul has to get up there, there's people, pulpit. Hashkama is like, you know, like this amount of people there, that's a tamish. So I express myself in ways that I don't always do the upstairs menu. I said, you know, these are leaders, the only people who accept the responsibility upon themselves, who knew what it means to how to control themselves, not like the artful dodger who occupies the White House. But also woke up. I don't talk politics, but I felt that that's it. The irresponsibility and the inability to control yourself starts from the top down. The statistics are not good in America today. They really are not good. The road, I'm sorry to say, not like the days of Ozzie and Harriet in the 50s, when at least outwardly it was certainly looked down upon terribly. And I believe, I mean, I'm naive. I believe that in the 1950s, the majority of the average American Alzies and Harriets were loyal and faithful to each other. That's what I believe. People laugh at me sometimes. I believe it. I believe in patriotism and the old. I grew up in the 50s. These are my 50s. When I was before Bar Mitzvah, and I believe that everyone was a tzaddik and a tzaddikus, and, you know, I that's what I thought. I still think it's true. Then. Not that before the quote revolution, before the pill, whatever it was, that led to the terrible permissiveness of nowadays. Now the role is not that way. That's in America. I'm told that in certain very left-wing Israeli segments of society, it's no better. So you have to lean above the role, but I don't know which way to go. I'd love to say Yisrael Kadoshim. I'd love to say it. It's exposed by Yisrael. We all have to be a kingdom. We all have to control ourselves. And the Goy Kodesh, Kadoshim Tiyu, Purushim Tiyu. That's what I spoke about. It's very important. Anyway, this is what I think. So I was sympathetic with these rabbis who were doing this in Eretz Yisrael, although, other than honestly, you have no right to take this on your own. Don't know. It's a very serious question. This is we rely on Rav Moshe. But I want to tell you that not everybody agrees to Lord Rav Moshe in civil marriage. Even in the Rav Moshe is still a very low to rely on this tshuva of Rav Moshe. They are kosher for Rav Hagen's point in Eretz Yisrael much more than in America. Rav Moshe was in America much more significant halachic personality. He was considered the posek ador, although the Rav himself was not also know how to learn. Said Rav Moshe is a big tzaddik, but you can't rely on every single one of his psalchem. It was not so quick the Rav to rely on this tshuva of Rav Moshe about civil marriage and reform marriage. Not so quick. And myself, for one, civil marriage, I think we have more right to be makel against Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is more makel by reform than by civil. I put the other way around. So he is daiti. That's what I thought. All this ties into, we spoke about the Indian of Kiddush Na'al Tanai, which, as I said, we read, that's in Kuf Nun Zayin. Oh, so this Rivash is quoted, before I go any further, is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. You shouldn't just think it's a Rituas, a Rivash no one ever heard of. The Ramah and Simon Chavav Sif Aleph talks about someone who's not gone to the mikveh, and therefore there is Mumash Anasim Mumeres Beni Museim, Ein Chshash Kiddush and Klal. That's the Rivash. It's Nus Bialma. He doesn't give you the three reasons which we gave, but he talks it in the halacha. Kiddushin al Tanai, this is in Simon Kuf Nun Zayin. We read it on Thursday. How can it be Kiddushin al Tanai? Happens in the principle of the most of the loss of Bilas Nus. So we spoke a little bit about the fact that maybe it's not considered to be Nus, because the chances are that the marriage is a valid marriage. Why? Because after all, maybe at the beginning they'll have a child. At the end, maybe they'll divorce her before he dies. In that case, of B'makom Yavam. So Yavam Muma that we're talking about over there. But that's what we assume the halacha. That Kiddush Na'al Tanai is impossible in normal circumstances, and it's possible only in the very limited circumstances of Yavam Muma. Or we spoke about a very unique case of the early old time, which we spoke about, which in theory, we can argue that maybe it should be permissible. But generally speaking, we assume that it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Interestingly, that same Ramah pulls out Pilegesh. You hear the Shalom Bias organization? You hear them?
Yeah.
Who heard of them? More people than the Brezhnev. The Shalom Bias organization, a bunch of unbelievable people from based in Brooklyn, who want to revive the old style institution of Pilegesh, a concubine. According to the Rambam, a concubine is an Issa D'oraisa. Yeah, it's always the Rambam. And not everyone agrees with the Rambam. The Ramah does quote that, they cannot tell a lie. The Ramah and Simon Chavav, Sif Aleph, says, Yesh Avim Shemutav Pilegesh Amura B'Torah. It's the Rambam. He just quotes two opinions. Doesn't make a definitive determination. I think that it's safe to say that Minik Klal Yisrael forever has been a Pilegesh is us. Despite the one opinion quoted here by the name of the Ravid and Tzatz Mefarsh, we have accepted upon ourselves the Rambam, Lahalokha Lamaisa, and therefore nobody, in my view, has the right to accept this institution of Pilegesh nowadays. Did you ever? Huh? Oh, for a Melech, the Amos is a Pilegesh is what? What's a Melech? A Melech, what's this? Clinton, Rahman al-Islam? A Melech has more leniencies than the rest of the people. He can take liberties with the law. Chas v'shalom. Rahman holds that a Pilegesh becomes his wife. That's the pshat. What is Pilegesh? He's miyachad, a woman for himself, monogamously, that she's not going to be with anyone, whatever you want to call it. She's not going to be with any other men. Without the benefit of the formal marriage ceremony. So according to the Rav, the Rambam says, she becomes his wife this way. I is missing a Maisa Kinyan of Kiddushin. A king never needs a Maisa Kinyan. Melech poets together. The Melech eminent domain, he can take over your field without a Kinyan. So he can take over a woman without a Kinyan. The proof is, that the Rambam says that only can have 18 wives. And, you know, Kahena to Kahena. Limit of 18. There are all limits in this world. So there are 18 wives a king can have. This is the first. Le'arvel anashim, apostle kachumash. 18 max. Says the Rambam, the pilakshim count towards the 18. It's a chalaya barura that in fact the marriage that she is married to. Remember it's not kiddush, but Alma Vriya came out as a part of this rough tiredness. Yeah?
Does anyone bring a Gershom Kalan Avel for the Pilagish?
Rabbeinu Gershon never spoke to any Malachim. They said the kingdom stopped long before him. So the Shalom Bayis organization says, no, there's no din of Chemer against my Pilegesh. They advocate it. It's a great idea. I think it's tremendous. It's that these men, they sin because they can't control themselves. Well, we'll take pills. They don't use the word pills. They say, we'll arrange for it that his wife should be a Nida from day 1 to 12 of the month. Right? And we'll make sure that the Pilegesh is Muteris from 1 to 12 of the month. So they should have no break. They should always have a woman at his disposal. It's printed. It's printed in their literature. Came from Borough Park, Brooklyn, somewhere. Shalom Bayis Organization. Called the Churban Bayis Organization. Even the Ivan, who's Mata Pilegesh, when he is Daiti, I think is referring to cases where there was no marriage. But the Mata Pilegesh on top of a wife, I mean, I never said that out there. Anyway, we don't accept, it's never been accepted, the Ladina, this Ivan Chita history, to my knowledge. And therefore, La Halacha is of course prohibited. There are those who claim that there's nothing wrong with living with a woman outside of the context of marriage based upon a Tosfos in Yevamos. Yeah, before your Tosfos. Tosfos says they used to have marriages for underage boys, under the age of 13. Because of the Golos, and they were not paying any of the sweet Tosfos too, I forgot. But it's certainly in Yevamos. So you see, they're not married and they're living together. The answer is, we can say the only time as an Easter of Kadesh the Rice going to the Rambam is when they can get married and they choose not to. That's promiscuous. But when it's impossible to get married because he's under 13, then the prohibition would not exist. Pashas. In any event, I'm just telling you, the mice are certainly awesome. And it's unfortunate that there are those who taking this word Pilegesh and the Ramah and making a whole big deal out of it. It's an unfortunate thing. Indeed, it's possible to say, in the case of a Kiddushin al Tanai, with the brothers of Yavav, there's a potential Yavav is a Mumar, we could argue that even if at the end of the day it turns out the marriage was no marriage, there's still no violation. Why? Because the violation is a violation of kedushas, of promiscuity. And that means, you know, you're living with a woman with no commitment. But here, you're living with a woman with an eternal commitment. There's no way you can get out of this marriage for the rest of your life. You're married to her. What happens if after you die, in retrospect, there was no marriage? That's not promiscuity. It could be that even though Pilegesh is also, this is mutter. That's what may be, in fact, the case. Maybe. Oh, well, that's what we're saying. That's exactly the point. That it's not considered to be nus because it's an effect of kind of a marriage. And even though it turns out it's not really a marriage if he dies no children, but we're not nus even in between. So I'm willing to concede in theory such a thing could exist. Okay, Rabbi Osai? Yes, Ellie.
What was the reason for the marriage?
Because they were afraid the goyim would take away all the unattached people. Take them and baptize them. So they, these are the Christians that we're celebrating later this week. Yeah. The same people. Have to be very careful with this ecumenical spirit, the season to be jolly, tra-la-la. Not so jolly. These people, a lot of our parents, I want to give a guarantee, almost. I probably give a statistical guarantee from my actuary, that there's an ancestor of every single one in this room who was killed by Christians. Sounds like a radical statement, but I think if you do some actuarial work, you'll probably find, think of how many Jews were killed by Christians, Crusades and Inquisitions over the years. I think it's probably true. So just think about it next time you pass the tree, that one of your ancestors was in all likelihood killed with the name of the cross. There are people here who won't buy German cars. They don't even buy Chrysler anymore. Because taken already by the German company. But at the same time, it doesn't bother about the tree. Because their memory is a little bit short. The Nazis, they remember. That was only 60 years ago. But others, they don't remember. Our memory should be longer than that. The collective memory of Klal Yisrael should extend longer than that. It should be, I'm not... unfortunately, were cases by shul where the kids, you know, kids, they took it seriously. They went out in the back of the shul, took stones and threw it at the tree. They broke the lights. So the good Italian neighbor of ours came to, "Where's the rabbi? Where's the rabbi?" But I got one of those disputations, like the Ramban, you know. I said, I'm sorry, this is not what I, no, we never told him I should go out and throw rocks. I called the children over, I said, "You don't do this, they should pay for it, and they should ask forgiveness." And I'm not saying, we don't throw rocks at Jews who drive on Shabbos, we don't throw rocks at the trees of the Italian neighbors. But we should have, to ourselves, we have to have a proper attitude. You know, children are like, "Oh, what's this light? It's very nice light. It blinks, it flashes. Very attractive." So what should our response be? Shaket tishaktenu v'sayev tisavenu ki cheremu. That's what it says in the Pasuk of Parshas Ekev with respect to, you know, what it says. Zachana sheru. Shaket tishaktenu. That's what we're supposed to say. They always said in Europe when they passed a church. And then they used to spit. My children, from the earliest childhood, I taught them, there's a church we pass by often and down my block, I say, "Shak is the shak, said of a sahab, said of a kayamim." And I would tell them, when they were little kids, that in Europe, just as ever as I used to spit, I would never out in my mind, they'd spit. So my kids tell me later, they spit. Crazy kids. Come out and never get it. Crazy. But I guess they outdo their father. I always say the person. You know, they used to say, "Shemesh tachal hev averik." Yeah, that's how it's not the Babbage. That's how it was in Europe. That was in the privacy of the shul. And I have to tell you, although it was taken out of Osadurim, because some guy got up and said, "Varik is in Gematria Yeshu." Correct? Varik. Is that correct? Do the math. Va-rik. Reish and Kufit Shin. Yud and Vav. These two things are the same. They thought we were spitting at their gods. I mean, the Pasuk, it's a Pasuk in Yeshaya, if I'm mistaken, which is long before Yeshu, by any historical account. Anyway, but I don't advocate spitting, but I do advocate staying Shem Mishtachamim. In my shul, I was in my shul. During when the kid sings Aleinu by Anna Mizmiris, he doesn't sing. Some shul they actually sing. Hey, Mishtachlim Lehevel Varik, right? Who has shul where they sing it? Was it my tenth shul? Gavaldik. But in my shul, they don't sing it. But I say it on myself. But when it really counts, when does it really count, Aleinu? That's right. Shankar by Musa. Who's the chazan? Me. And it's said out loud for the whole world to hear. Not in the Burma. I don't use the Burma. I use the art scroll. I think it has it in parentheses, if I'm mistaken. And at the bottom, I say that Rabbi Shmaril Diskin said, if you skip it during the year, big deal. It's just a song. But if you skip it on Rosh Hashanah Kippur, you're Mishanami Madbeya Shetavah Hacham the Barachas. That's what you can't skip. That's what he says. You can get fired from your job in Newton very easily by saying it. Let me ask the rabbi. Maybe it'll be master. They don't know what's going on. Talk to your mother. Don't know what it means. They'll be on your side. And the great Alev, what's this? A difference? It's Chabad or something. They'll say that. They want to know this. Ask the rabbi. Then you'll be able to put it in the seat. I'm serious. Ask him. Anyone else say that about Tilly and Yom Nerun? Not yet. Mr. Monday, you'll go up, you're about to fill it, put it in. The Bell School? I think I've spoken to the Bell School about this. It's a can of beer. I want to get a shear for the Chazon. Yeah. I did, however, want to point out one more thing before we change gears to the next sugya, that I'm not convinced, Rabbi Osai, I'm not convinced about the following case. The case in which a couple is Baalei Tshuva, and they are Baalei Tshuva of long standing. They were married civilly or by reform, and they're living in an Orthodox community, and they're going to the Rabbi's Shiurim. So what they really should be doing, if they go to the Rabbi's Shiur, and somewhere along the line, over 10 years, Rabbi must have said somewhere along the line that reform or civil marriage is not a marriage, likely. He must have mentioned somewhere in 10 years. that shiur that they heard should have sent them right away to the rabbi's study. What do we do? What do we do? Let's say they didn't. My guess is, as good as someone from the shiur will mask them to me, my guess is that the average Baal Tshuva, sincere Baal Tshuva, Kim Shabbos, she goes to the mikveh. And they were married civilly 10 years ago. And when they were before, they were non-observant completely. And they gravitated towards Yiddishkeit slowly, surely. Now they're in Orthodox, fervently Orthodox shuls, they call today. Fervently Orthodox. They are not, my guess is that most of them haven't gone to the Rav to say, Gewalt. Basically, they said, we're not really married. We have a new kiddush. If they did it, that's what they should be doing. And I was saying, maybe it's the rabbi's fault. Maybe it's my fault. I should take the, find every Baal Tshuva. I know who the Baal Tshuva are. And ask them, who did your marriage? Who married you? I should be proactive. And if it was not a civil marriage or a reform, I should do a new wedding. I don't. I'm speaking. I'm clapping out head myself. I have loads of Baal Tshuva in my shul. And I don't go over to all of them and say, well, you were married before you were Baal Tshuva, after you were Baal Tshuva, who did it? Was it Orthodox rabbi? Was it what? I don't ask. So I don't ask. They don't come to me. So what's going through their heads, these people? They're observant. She's going to the mikveh. What's going through their heads? Do they have in mind that they're married to Kedusha Bia? They probably heard about that too. They learned they're not Artsko Mishnayis. So, Yishin and Nicholas Ben Bia, they know about this. So what's going through their minds? Can we assume that they're married because, A, let's go back to the Rivosha's reason. They don't want to be married with the priest. I mean, they want to be Orthodox Jews now. B, there's no Issa neither. C, at least according to the Ra'a, there are Edim who know that they're living together on a regular basis. So maybe we have no right to be so lenient and say that they're really not married. But let's say there'll be a case where they'd be Balei Tshuva, married by reform or civil. They live 10 years in an Orthodox shul, then they break up. And then she marries someone else without a get. What happens then? What do you say about that? What do you say? What?
What?
Oh. Ravaj is assuming the average person doesn't know Kedusha Bia. He's talking about the non-observant person. Here they're observant people. They never heard Kedusha Bia. They never went to a shir. They never learned the first mention of Kedusha. He's that firm people for 10 years. I don't think so. Okay, I know. I'm not sure what the deal is in this case. I'm not sure. Not sure. Could be that since they want to be observant, they keep nida, that they have in mind, I guess they have to have a meeting of the minds as well as the bodies in a particular instance, that they want to have kedusha bia. And even though they are too embarrassed to go to the rabbi, too embarrassed to a point to aid them on a particular night and say, okay, tonight's the night that we're going to get married in this fashion. But at least according to the Ra'a, maybe they're really married. I don't know. It's not so simple. It was a terrible story, it got me so sick. But I'm not 100% sure, according to the strict halacha, whether it's right or wrong. Ma'isa shahoya kachoya. This is a mind-boggling story. A couple of Baal Tshuva, a bunch of kids, Baal Tshuva for many years. Unfortunately, Baal Tshuva are only human beings. And we think that means Baal Tshuva because they left a different lifestyle. They came to Torah Mitzvahs, Baruch Hashem, they're protected. They're not going to make it to do any sins that some of the unfortunate FFBs are guilty of. That's what we think. But it's not true. It's a horror permeates everybody. It gets to everybody, even a Baal or Baal Tshuva. What happened was an unbelievable story. This Balas Tshuva, who was married for many years and had children and was observant for many years with her husband, the Baal Tshuva, was unfortunately unfaithful. Unfaithful. Can I tell you? She was unfaithful. And after a while it became discovered, as most things in this nation become discovered. And her husband, of course, divorced her. And then she wanted to marry her, we'll call him boyfriend. Tabut, he was a Kohen. Tabut, he was a Kohen. crazy story. The couples were friendly. It was a crazy story. Crazy story. They went to a certain Rav, Big Talmud Chacham, happened to live in a Sfarad, maybe have to go to the Lavadia's track, I don't know. And he said, no problem. I think he may even, he did the wedding himself. Huh? How is that possible? It's very simple. They were never married. They had kids. They were living in an Orthodox community prominently for many years. But he did a little research. They were married by reform or by civil when they weren't observant. And although they were together for all these years in an Orthodox, they're never married. They're never married. So what she did with the, you don't take a shame, there was no Baal to begin with. So she was carrying on with his boyfriend. It was like, it was premarital. It wasn't extramarital. And then she's divorced. She's not even divorced. I gave her a get. No, the get was not what the paper's written on. Because you never married her in the first place. It says in the Ramah that if there's a get was given, even the Chumra, she shouldn't marry a Kohen. Not everyone agrees with that. We don't want to, so we don't have to pass in that way. So that's what happened. My stomach was churning when I heard this. It was so disgusting. Now, is it right? But to be disgusting and right, disgusting and wrong. You know, I thought it may be disgusting and wrong. Maybe because if they're living so many years in a firm community, maybe they really are married, even according to the Mekilim. But I'm not sure. I'm more convinced that it's disgusting than that it's halakhically, technically incorrect. Anyway, I'd kind of see where I'm. Yes. Very good. The post can say that a zona means, based on Monya Vamis, only a technical term. A zona means a promiscuous woman. She could live with 100 different Jewish men, and she's Mutara Sakayim. Not everyone agrees. The Machlokas HaTanoim. And ideally, the Chatchila, we say such a woman is Asura Lakayim. Zona Kishma. But Mi'ikar Adim, we pass her that not. Well, she lived with a Goy even once, then, or the man with adulterers even once, that would prefer to disqualify her from being a Kohen. Yes, from.
Would it be the same problem for the Israeli marriages if
they were
valid shiva?
If they're possible marriage on purpose? Then presumably they're not married, and therefore there would be no adultery, and there'd be no issue to the Kohen, and no issue to the boyfriend if it's not to marry him. But if there really was a marriage, then through the bow of the bow.
There you would ask them where they got married, and they say, well, they think that it's fine.
You would think it's fine, but then we could find a little bit. So I guess if you want to do a little further research, who was the rabbi? You ask, who signed his name? Rabbi X. Call Rabbi X, assuming he's still alive, and say, it's one of those Shomer Atzir Kibbutzim. These marriages are no marriages. I made sure that they're not really married. If that's true, I guess, whether you believed against the Chazaka, it's complicated. I don't know. Good. Any more questions on this topic? Again, there's more to be said, but I want to start a new sugya, B'siyata D'Shmaya. Now we're starting a sugya, which is a very important sugya. It's a sugya of makom. Makom beget. Okay, we're going to give this sort of general broad strokes today, and the rest of the week we're going to be filling in the details. So it's a major sugya. I asked you to see the Mishnah here. The Mishnah is starts in Ayin Tes Amud Beis. I and Tess on the base. Let's read together some of the basics and tomorrow we'll fill in. The Mishnah says, interesting thing over here. Kosa l'shul malchus shena hogenes. He used to write the date, such and such number of years to, like they have in there today, and they've been there. Chamishim shenalem dinat Yisrael. You ever see these Zionist wedding invitations? So he used to write it in the get. I don't know if they write it in the get, imagine. The Gimel, the Yechad, the Shabbos, Asara, Yavim, Lechodesh, Tevis, Shnas, Shtayim, Chamishim, the Malchus Yisrael, the Medina Yisrael. I think even the biggest B'nai Kivinix don't write that in the Yagid. Never, don't the mask in Medina Yisrael is the Malchum Peronius. Okay? But that's how they used to do it in the old days. The kingdom the Greeks would insist on it. They'd kill you if you didn't write. Not only getting all the stars, because that's part of their establishing the kingdom. They'd have to recognize when the kingdom began, and that all the dating of documents were done. The Malchus, you do the wrong one, so it's no good. No good. Hoya b'mizrach because of b'mar, b'mar because of b'mizrach. Teitze mizeh mizeh. That means the get is no good. She married someone else, she has to get divorced from the first one and divorced from the second one. Even though the second one's kiddushin were not really kiddushin, because the get is batul midah oraisa, still midah rabbanan, they require a get. Utricha get mizeh mizeh. All the financial stuff is lost. If not, tarzit. She's giving it back. Any child from the second marriage and or from the first marriage that's restored is also a mamzer. Yeah, Rashi says the mamzer mizeh mizeh. Second wide line. That's only with the Rabbana, because mid the Oraisa, she's still married to the first one. Because the get was no get. Will be Vamas, I mean, the Asim of Zeres, all the Kashim in Torah. Because the second guy's marriage is no marriage. And we go on, it goes on forever here. Lozeres, and Metamelo, Lozeres, Zakon, Lozeres, Masia, there, by Forest of the Rare. Hoyse by Son of Tselos, Mena Kuhuna, Bathlevi, Mena Maisa, Baskar, Mena Truma, Ben Yoshin, Zelzer, Yoshin, Shose, Yoshin, Ksubasa. So she's out of everything. Shina shmo shmo shemira v'shemira teitzim mizeh mizeh kol adrochem ha'eludon. Stop. As far as we're going. The name, if her, his name or her name or the name of his or her was changed, so the get is no get. Finished. The get is no get. Here's the source for the loch of mokum. The source is found not in the case where the mokum is omitted, rather in the case where the mokum is written mistakenly. Interesting. Tosis points out, top Tosis on pay, that Shina Shmo Shmo Lo Shina Kedama Mamish Kedama should be Daf Lamedal Lamed Beis V'chein Shemira V'Shemira Lo Shina Mamish Alel Oso Iri Shnei Shemus B'Shnei Mekomus. As the Gemara says, that the person has two names. He's called one thing in one place and one thing in another place. That happens. There were guys, let's say, who became, I don't know, more frum. So when they were born, and in their hometown, they're still calling him Stewie. Okay, that's how they were called, Stewart. So everyone called him Stewart. That's how they're called, Stewart, Hamachuna Stewie, or the Miskery Stewie, you know, that's his name. But meanwhile, he moved to Lakewood. Lakewood. In Lakewood, he's known as Shalom, right? So he has a different name, two different names. So what name do you write on the get? So he goes home, they still call him Stewie. He goes to Lakewood, they call him Shalom. So it depends. Let's say the get is written in his hometown and been given in Lakewood, or vice versa. So what do you write in the get? So the Gemara says, you write the Mokumam in the Sina Iker. If you know the get's going to be given in another place, you write the name of how he's called in that place. And if you make a mistake, it's possible. So to the shame of the Mokom. There could be cities that have two different names. Does anyone here know that a city has two different names?
Istanbul
and Constantinople. Exactly. And sometimes they're called different things in different places. Because the kingdom insisted on being called one way, but everyone else in the world is still calling the other way. So there too, you'd have to have. It depends where it's being given, and it depends. You have to have in mind it's called one place. It was written in that city, and in that city they insist on being called Istanbul. Let's say they insist on it, so it's written in Istanbul, but it's going to be given over in New York, and there they call Constantinople. So you should have to write Constantinople because that's how it's going to be. It's called that city in the place where the get is going to be given, and if you goof it up, it could be possible potentially. So these are serious matters. This can really happen. Okay. So now, we talk about Ero of the Ero. Tosis says this is a very important discussion. So this is how they ask to see. Shemira v'shemira. Omer ben Yitzchak. Ta'ilu dafka ir shedorin bo. The place where you live. Avul ir shenolad bo. Afilu shina kosher. Kevin shein tzorach lekos v'klau. The rule of Tosis is whatever you don't have to write, if you wrote it wrong, it does not pass over the evidence. There's no need to write the birthplace. Shakad Monim Shirgilu the Kosvo. Why did the people in the generations before begin to write the birthplace. Mishim Shem Yera Sheisham Yosef and Shimon Acher in the town in which he lives. Yebo Simon, Ide Mokum Leido. So if he's Shimon, Yosef and Shimon from New York, there's another Yosef and Shimon in New York. But he says, Yosef and Shimon Hadar in New York, Shenolad Ve Boston. So what the chances are that the other Yosef and Shimon who lives in New York was born in New York, or maybe born in Chicago. A lot is born in Boston. That's a simon. Veteda, ki kama pa'amim, kosin mekom haledo, al pi abal o ha'isha. V'yemshin apostle hoya nocha lekos v'al al pi edim. Remember we had the sukkah of Hakara? You shouldn't write their names based on their own recognizance and their own self-definition. If it's going to be something which conceivably, potentially, can pass the whole get. Because it might still pass. V'lo domi l'shtemudinu l'afilu mipikarvo isha nema b'acholis divam islamitesk t'sham kaladav l'var v'av l'glu yetuva. Here it's not so clear to find out where he was born. The old t'shtemudinu t'srichin l'hoyed k'desh lo t'sagein. Aber kein Mal und sag und nicht mehr kommen leider beginnen. Kein was der Kach hat aber der Psul. Die Mishana, aber war er für die Schiene Kosch. Tosis main thesis is you mix up the birthplace to get his kosh at the end. I mean, the time maybe Raya Shein Shtan Isluk Shein Nishtan Abo Dova Shein Tzorch. If you don't need it, then if it's goofed up, it does not pass it. How do you know? Ksubis Chavdala. Ein Malen Mishtoros Liyuchsin. The lava kula milsa come aside. The edim are only testifying on the basics, not on the extraneous stuff, and therefore you cannot assume that it's a proper yichus. El amana shebishtar, $100, that's all. Lo ma shekosef shu kohen. Alma, afila ena kohen ashtar koshen. Usvaru. The edim lo kaimel al ikar masa. Umasa becha sheshina mokum beget mokum leidoso. Vichshira benet vichshira ri. Harbe pamim shelo hoyolam bor makom aleda yomer al tichtavu klal. Don't write it. He says don't write the makom aleda because but if you goof it, it does not pass. Why? Because you don't need it. As opposed to makom dira, Tos seems to be saying makom dira you do need, and if you goof it, it's possible even with the yevet. Umakom amida nami ein tzarach lichtov. There's no need to write the place where the get is being written and being signed. Why? We don't know exactly where it's going to be given. So because it gets sent from Yerushalayim. So you say, I'm going to give it to my wife who's standing down in New York. Maybe she's the one who took a trip to Chicago. So you're going to parcel up the get on that basis. So we don't write her mokum in such an instance. Vishina Mokum Abidaso, Kidabuki Asofu, we'll see soon. Should the Pshita the Ain Sarah Lithu Mokum Abidaso. So according to Tos, there are two places which are considered really halakhically unrequired and therefore irrelevant. If you goof it, makes no difference. What are they? The place where you were born and the place where you're standing. The only place which has a halakhic validity and meaning is the place where you're living. And therefore that is required. And if you goofed it, you passel. So says the Tosfos. Is it clear to everybody? Is it crystal clear what Tosfos is saying? Saying, Makom, if you need it and you goof it, it's passel. If you don't need it and you goof it, it's kosher. So Makom lay, then Makom need it, you don't need it, so if you goof it, it's kosher. Makom diva, you do need it, if you goof it, it's passel. Is it clear? If you don't understand it, ask me now. It's very important, Tosfos. Yes,
Ali. Specifically because you don't need it, or specifically from the
doesn't it sound from Tosis that it's a function of whether you need it or not? That's a simple reading of Tosis. Mm-hmm. If you need it, and then you make a mistake, then it's no good. If you don't need it, you made a mistake, then it's going to be good with the Evan.
So I don't
want to
say
it didn't see it. Ooh. It's talking about what's written in the Shtar.
Yeah, so what happens when you have
Mizuyah Mitochi, you're saying. Ariel's asking, we find precedent for the fact that Avdalid, Eidech HaSimah are not necessary. Afal Pikain, if you wrote them and they're no good, it passes the whole thing. Here too, if you didn't have to write them for the birth, but if you do it, you pass the whole thing. Well, it's not exactly the same, you realize, but the principle of the question is good.
Question of being
really
solid and
made
in the future.
Okay, it's not exactly the same. Anyway, this is Tosfos' main thesis. But I'm asking you a question now. According to Tosfos, Daf Pei, with what we just read, if I write a get and I omit any mokum, there's no mokum found anywhere in the get, is it kosher or is it possible? Kosher or puzzle? Puzzle, prove it. Oh, Tosin saying it's Malcolm Deer. That's the Pashat of Pshat. So the Pashat of Pshat is that the Korn Tosin will be puzzle. You need Malcolm Deer. If you don't have Malcolm Deer, it's puzzle. No? Anyone arguing with me? Is that correct? That's a simple reading of our Tosin. Okay? Let's chazer again. Malcolm Deer, you require. If you don't have it, it's puzzle. So if you goof it, it's puzzle. Mokum later and amida, you don't even have to have it. And therefore, if you do have it and it's puzzle, it's not ma'akev. That's a simple reading of our Tosfos. Correct? Yes, Yehuda. Lich Ora, according to Tosfos, all of our gittin are puzzle. That's great, no? A great day, you know, wake up for breakfast, no breakfast, and then you have this news, according to Tosfos, all of our gittin are puzzle. Why all of our gittin puzzle? Because we learned a long time ago, quoted Shulchan Aruch Chesed Kuf Chav Chesed Beis, and it's, I can show it to you in the Shulta Gibor, it's on the Ma'am HaKalos, I think for tomorrow, a few, more than once. Nowadays, we no longer write the Malkam Adiva. No get I've ever seen writes a city where the husband and wife come from. Never. Why not? We're afraid of a goof. Malkam Diva Seinem, Merupa Biodena, Golem, and Mitalpalim, go from place to place, go from neighborhood to neighborhood, from city to city. So, you know, therefore, there's no makom kavua for our dira. It's better to leave it out than take a chance. So all of our gittin don't say that Mr. X from City Y is divorcing Mrs. X from City Z. No, it doesn't say that. It says Mr. X is divorcing Mrs. Y. That's all it says. At most, it says what? At most, it says the place where the get is actually signed, the place where the husband is actually standing, and the place where the wife is actually standing, if all three are the same place. The only time you have the names of these three is when it's in the same place. In other words, it'll always say the place where the get is actually signed. Right? What do you mean this? It says, if you write a get today, right now, we'd say, Echad b'Shabbos, Asor Yom Liyerach Tevis, Shnas Chameshes Alofim. You no longer count as a Tosfos number base. Now we count for Bria Solom. We don't count for the United States 1789, whenever the government was established in America. We count for Bria Solom. Chameshes Alofim U Shva Meos V'Shishim Lebrias Olam Leminyan She'anu Monin Kan New York. Let me write, give you a preview. You have to get one? You don't have to get Masa Diyasva Al Nahar Hudson V'Al Kef Yoma. You know what it says? Pretty sure that's what it says in the get that you have. Or Brooklyn. What does it say in Brooklyn? Unbelievers in Brooklyn. Nahar East River. Unbelievable. East River. It's like Mayim HaKoyim V'Vasa. Nahar East River. No, what's going on with here? The problem. Very much of the truth. Did I get it right so far? Okay. Then it says, so the Brooklyn is found on the second line. Okay. Valmei Naharos, the other rivers. That means by the East River and what else? Interesting. Brooklyn doesn't say Kef Yama. Not about Kef Yama. Val Nahar, East River. Valmei Naharos. What about Valmei Naharos? I guess the Hudson River. Brooklyn. At borders now? No, I'm asking you a question. Where does the Hudson officially end? By the Verrazano? Until the Verrazano is still called the Hudson? Or called the Narrows?
No.
Called the Narrows? So where the Hudson ends by Battery Park? By Battery Park? Then there is no Hudson River. What's Main Naharos? What two rivers are there in Brooklyn? the Narrows Creek. That's between Brooklyn and Queens. There's a little, you know what I'm talking about?
Is that a river?
Is that a river?
I don't know.
Is it? Maybe it is. What's the second river? Who will? Cape Yama.
It's really.
No, I'm very serious.
I thought we were saying all
rivers. No. This could be a puzzle. And now I can't catch what I'm saying. What kind of Maine Horace? I have a book with me. Yes. I have it in my office. We want me to I want to look at it. Called Ha'aretz La'Oreo. There's all the cities in the world we're getting are written with their official names and explains why it's so. Or tries to explain why it's so. Often it's impossible to justify.
So who made it up?
I don't know. some guy came off the boat in the 1800s didn't know they'd open the Shulchan Aruch. What kind of business is this? No, I'm serious. What? Not that. But it says it three times. One, where the Adam is in effect time, but Minshad Malakan. Then, Ana, Irab, and Berna, Alevi. This could be Bernie. Ha'omed Ayom in Brooklyn again. Masad Yasa, the Kef Yom, and the Haris Pib of Almain Aras. So it's Visi, Grisnashi, Lanista, Lashavik, Shavak, as a palace, as Ruchas, Yosik, and Lichi, and Ipnsesi. You, my wife, Barbara, Bas William. This could be Bill. Homedes Hayom in Brooklyn again, the third time. Third mistake. Masad Yasa, the Hakef Yom, and the Haris Pib of Almain Aras. I'm only saying this is a joke. You can't say this, Chassid Shalom, because this is a mistake. Then all the Gittin and Brooklyn have a problem. Where are the other Naharas? I instead it's the let's consider the Narrows to be a Nahar. It's not called the Hudson anymore. It's called the Narrows, but that's not called the sea. Yeah, it's called a Nahar. The Nahar called the Narrows.
How do you define the
Nahar?
How do you
define the Nahar? We'll discuss them. The ocean, Atlantic Ocean, is Cape Yama. Coney Island, that's Cape Yama, we know what that is. That's the seashore. But the Narrows, of which the Verrazano Narrows Bridge goes, that's like a bay, you know? I would call it a bay, you know? What would you call it? It's called Narrows Bay, right? Yeah. So that called a Nar? Is a bay called a Nar? I don't know. What do you say? The bay called an Nahar. How do you define a Nahar? Flowing river. The bay flows. And isn't it flowing into the sea? Which way does the water go in the Narrows? This way or this way?
Both.
Not so posh, I think it's the way. It's a lot of action over there. I mean, all the Atlantic Ocean's coming in over there. A lot of pressure. And that's what it says in Brooklyn. Okay. In Manhattan, here in Washington Heights and Wyoming, we'd say, New York, Masa de Yasva al Nahar Hudson Val Kef Yama, which is also not so simple. Since when has Manhattan water on the sea? We don't have the Nahari River, which it does water on.
Yeah.
So, but the Mises. The water doesn't have the Hall River. I don't know what made this up.
Check the book.
I don't know. I have to check the book. I'll bring it in to show you. It's very interesting. Anyway, so. We have it three times, the city. But this guy, the get was given in Brooklyn, the man was in Brooklyn, and the woman was in Brooklyn. Okay? But Noah doesn't say Ira ben Bernie, or whatever, Bernie ben Ira, whatever it may be, who lives in New York or Brooklyn. Could have lived in Los Angeles. Doesn't say where he lives. Only if he's there. Let's say, for example, we send the get somewhere else. We send a get to the wife who lives in Chicago. You wouldn't say, I know Aunt Intercy, Barbara, Basvillian, Mr. Bill, whole medicine of Chicago. And we don't write that. Because who knows if she's really in Chicago, maybe she left Chicago now, she'll leave Chicago tomorrow. We just don't say anywhere she lives. You're leaving out the way where she is. Is it good? Offhand is no good. So how do we ever get this man? I said, well, give him a puzzle. I'm going to just show you the rush for a minute, and then we'll stop before we actually get to the nitty gritty. The rush is very important. Simon test, as I asked, if I mentioned you on Thursday. You saw it yet? We'll see a little bit of it. Okay. Simon test, column 2. With a small samach is. for the 10th line in the second column, 8th line. Umid lo mukila hachi mashma shein tzarech lichtov mokam aminis abal v'yishav yom aksiva. So called Gitna Bobdinis Ayah Miodea Beza Mokam Aisha Omedis, as I just told you a minute ago. Who I didn't be Ishnami, if he had to leave, we don't know where he is. The Gam Mokam Aleda in Tzarech Lichtov, the Iro of the Iro Amokam, Iker Adirakoi, Kyuta Vigol, Lel Perka Shalech, where they live. And here's the key line. The Gam Iro of the Iro, even the city where he and she live, Ain Ikub Bichsivaso. It's not ma'akiv. The get is kosher if you don't write it. To mastisin lo kotkome elashino avlam kosam klal lo mifsul gita b'hochi. How do you like that? A mefurish rush that if you don't write his place where he lives, there's nothing there at all, the get is still kosher. That's why our mission says, shino shemiro v'shemiro is possible. Implying that if he didn't change, he just left it out completely, the get would be kosher. So our Gittin Bisman Hazeh are all relying on the Rosh. That the Rosh says, if you didn't write the name of the place where the husband and wife live, the get is a valid get. But at first glance, according to Tosis, the get would be invalid. A very disquieting thought. Because we have been asked to try to follow the Baal HaTosis whenever possible. Just because we were moving around, we should write a get which is possible according to Tosis. It's very hard to stomach this. Really difficult to accept such a conclusion. Huh? Oh, so that's the next line. Let's read one more line and we'll stop. He says, V'nogub Ashkenaz v'tzarfas lichto mokom aleda v'amida v'dira, all three, hecha diyodin shimcha shashas t'shnei Yosef and Shimon. That's why. It's an identifying symbol. I don't know what they played now. I gave the get itself because of Yosef and Shimon. That's what he says. We'll have to stop it again and prepare itself for Mincha. And Mincha Shem tomorrow, we'll go be Iyun into the Sugya of Mokam again. You can get Mincha 2 minutes either in the basement or here.